And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's going on, everybody? Thursday morning edition, NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by our good friends at Skip in Canada. Pete Jensen, Nick Alberga here with you, and we're joined by our guest, Chris Meaney. We're really excited for this week three episode, Nick, with mailbag questions and, of course, top 200 rankings update.
That's right, Skip, the official food delivery app of the National Hockey League, and certainly really, really excited. There's a lot of people delivering in the NHL right now, and that's why we had to bring in the pro deliverer himself, Chris Meaney. Means, you're just your general impressions on the early going of this NHL season, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. You kidding me? I love it. The early impressions of the season. Yeah, I don't know. Like some teams that, you know, like the Bruins stand out to me. It's a team that just continues to get it done. You know, like at the start of the season, you scan, you know, people are giving projections. It's like, Boston, they're a little bit older. No Brad Marchand, no Charlie McAvoy for the start of the season. Marchand's all of a sudden skating. He's going to be back any minute. And they've rattled off wins. I mean, nobody else has scored more goals than them in the East at 30. I think they got one loss so far. They're just rolling, right? Pastrnak, DeBrusk requested trade last year. And they find a way to put him inside the top six last season. He's strong to finish the year, and he's been strong to start the season. A couple other teams I'm not fully believing in that are rattling off wins. I think the Blackhawks, they entered tonight on a 4-game win streak. Good for them. Like, it's been that's a nice little fun story for them. The Sabres going out west, sweeping the Canadian teams, laying an egg, I guess, at the end of the road trip against the Kraken. But some teams that I don't feel like will be all that great to start the season have had decent starts, like the Canadians and the Sabres, and the Sens have railed off some wins too. So it's been early. I'm sure we'll talk about a couple players that are close to breaking out. But so far, 3 weeks in, it's been exciting.
And of course, follow Chris Meaney with all his good work on multiple different sports at FTN Network, FTN Bets, FTN Fantasy. You know the deal. Chris is one of the best out there, no doubt. So if we're talking about waiver wire pickups and things like that, I mean, Linus Ullmark has probably been the best waiver wire pickup, bar none, across the league. He's still undefeated. And you mentioned, Chris, Marchand's coming back soon, most likely, from the hip surgeries. So how do you view that Bruins team and Ullmark in terms of staying power? Do you think the Bruins, with Krejci back at better than a point per game, is this a legitimate Stanley Cup contender? And if so, is Linus Ullmark here to stay as the number one goalie over Jeremy Swayman?
Yeah, I think he is. It's a really good 1-2 punch. Like, Swayman has showed us that he is certainly capable of being a good starting goalie in the NHL. I mean, as a rookie, he was great. But Ullmark looks fantastic, to your point. Yeah, Krejci's really surprised me as well. It's not that I didn't think he was great. He's a good player. But when he went overseas, I'm like, maybe that's it for him. I don't know. And he comes back, he's a little bit older. I'm like, I don't know how much he'll really provide. But he's looked fantastic alongside David Pastrnak. Pastrnak's continuing to score. We recorded Dangle Betselli this morning, and somebody asked if it was a good sprinkle to, you know, put some cash on David Pastrnak to lead the NHL in goals. He's 20-1 in some spots. Like, yeah, it's pretty good for a guy who is, you know, shooting the puck as consistently as he is. Matt Grizzlick came back the other day. I think he's a sneaky little add in deeper formats. You know, if you lost Quinn Hughes, if you lost Aaron Ekblad, he's got points in three straight games. Get some power play time there as well. McAvoy is going to be back before you know it. And as you mentioned, and I mentioned earlier, you know, Nick, you're going to add Brad Marchand to this lineup inside the top six. So it's a team that plays really good at 5-5. They got good goaltending, even with Cassidy out. This is a team that's they're playing really good hockey again.
I'm happy you brought up Brad Marchand. We did our YouTube draft like a month and a half ago, if that, right, in New York. And everybody's like, oh, Brad Marchand, Nick Alberga took him. Well, I knew the guy was coming back early, man. You just had a feeling. The guy's an absolute gamer. He's games away from coming back for the Boston Bruins. And I think we can all agree in this conversation, when healthy, Brad Marchand is probably a top 15 fantasy file, even at this age. I was just going to add on the goaltending front in Boston, Linus Ullmark is your classic, like, year two following big contract breakout guy. I expected, I forecasted a bounce back season for him. But having said that, Pete, I still think it's a nice buy low window for Jeremy Swayman. He's had two starts in the last X amount of years. The Boston Bruins have employed a tandem share. I don't know why they would go outside the box this time around.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about sprinkling it in different buy low or sell high guys as we're about 3 weeks into the new season. And looking at some of these goalies out there are struggling. I'd much rather buy low on Jeremy Swayman, hoping that he at least gets it back to square one in terms of an even timeshare. I think he could even usurp Ullmark if he does not keep this up, which is probably likely. He's going to falter at some point. And if you compare him to like a Thatcher Demko, like Thatcher Demko is a top 10 fantasy goalie in pretty much everybody's rankings, Chris. Yeah. And Vancouver's still without a win. Do you see any hope, any prayer for Vancouver, maybe a coaching change? Who knows at this point? But they're at the bottom of the league standings, and Thatcher Demko is kind of wasted fantasy talent right now.
Yeah, I know, and he's really good. He really is a good goalie, and the Canucks are a mess. I mean, watching this team, just are they blown? I mean, their first four games, they were blown. I mean, two goal leads into the third period, up two goals, missing assignments, you know, two on ones, allowing breakaways when this team is up two goals in the third period, just little things like that. I don't know what needs to happen. It has to be more than a coaching change. Like Brugeau was brought in and he did a great job with the team last season. I mean, he got them going. They almost made the playoffs. And this is not on him. You can't just say, oh, wow, this is, you know, on Bruce Boudreau here. We got to make another coaching change. I don't know. It has to come from the front office. I don't know what they do to rebuild either. Like, what are they going to do? Brock Besser is going to go. I mean, they're not going to get a lot from him. They decided to re-up on JT Miller. Like, that's a guy that they maybe should have flipped for a bunch of prospects and things like that. So I don't know how this team turns it around. You could buy low on Thatcher Demko if you wanted to, but I just don't love their defense, Nick. I'm not a huge fan of what they have to offer on the back end, and that puts them in holes sometimes. Like, they can score, but defensively, they're not great. So I don't know if I'm buying low on Thatcher Demko.
That's the one thing I was going to ask you on today's show is what to do with the Vancouver Canucks. I totally agree. I think there's buy low appeal on Demko to an extent, on Quinn Hughes, on JT Miller. But the people out there trying to extend this notion that the Vancouver Canucks are going to go into a full rebuild, I don't know who you're trading. Is Jim Benning still the GM there? Because it feels that way, by the way. But I don't know who they're trading outside of Bo Horvat, who's in a contract here, who, by the way, is your captain. I think that's the likeliest asset at this point in time means to leave is Bo Horvat, just because his contract's running out. But the people who have the notion that they're going to rebuild and go after Connor Bedard, no, they're going to be a middling team. They're going to be 5-7 points out of a playoff spot, and they're just too good, in my opinion, and they have nobody else that they can actually trade. Like, even the Ilya Mikheyev contract was just a stinker. I think they're doing a terrible job in Vancouver. Do you agree, Means?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely, I do. Even a couple of years ago with Toffoli, when they acquired Toffoli, and he, you know, had a very small sample size, but he was great with them, and they didn't even want to sign him. They didn't even talk to him about a contract. That's right out of the mouth of Tyler Toffoli himself. He's like, I loved it in Vancouver. It was working for me. They didn't even talk to me. And then they let him go, and then they signed Connor Garland, who's a nice little player, but it just seemed like a sideways move. He probably could have got Toffoli, who's a better goal scorer. At cheaper cost. So I don't know. I'm looking at some of the goalies that you could buy low. You know, UC Saros, I'd probably rather buy low. I'd say I'd rather Demko than potentially Marc-Andre Fleury. You could get them for cheap. They haven't won a game. Like you said, Nick, they're better than a bottom five team in the league. So I'm sure it'll turn around and they'll get some W's. But ultimately, it's the defense that I'm concerned about.
Boys, you talk about sneaky goalies right now, Pete. I got two guys to bring to mind. Stuart Skinner of the Oilers and Aiden Hill, who wins in his revenge game. Kudos to Phil Kessel. Big night for him. But both guys have been sneaky streamers at the very least with potential. Potential is all I need in fantasy hockey, Pete.
Oh, no doubt. And 957 save percentage through three games for the still rookie eligible, I believe, Stuart Skinner. And hey, Chris, if Jack Campbell doesn't live up to his new contract and flashy offseason move, at least the Oilers have a fallback option here, right? The past couple of years, we haven't seen much of Stuart Skinner, and no more Koskinen, no more Mike Smith. The stage is set for this guy maybe to have some sneaky value, like Nick said. I like the call. I think Edmonton's one of the strongest teams in the league, top five or top 10 at the lowest.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, it's tough for goalies, right, in fantasy hockey. I think if you want to stream the position, there's a lot of back-to-backs. Like this week, there was a ton of back-to-backs. So the opportunities to stream if your goaltending isn't great, you're in a points league, you're looking for some extra points, you know, he's going to be backed offensively. It's certainly an upgrade, Pete, over the two guys that you mentioned earlier in Koskinen and Mike Smith. There's no question. I like the Aiden Hill call as well. Vegas is playing good hockey. They're playing stingy at 5-5. Bruce Cassidy is a fantastic coach. I've noticed that Shea Theodore and Petrangelo aren't jumping up in the rush like they before in the past. You usually see that, you know, you guys know I love shot props. Those are two defensemen I usually, you know, look at, but this year it's been a little bit different. I know Cassidy, you know, when he didn't have the same personnel in Boston, you know, himself too, had a little bit of offensive upside when he played. I'm sure he likes the fact that he has those two horses on the back end that they can drive offense, but I haven't seen it just yet. But I mean, Logan Thompson's been fantastic, right? He was 21 to win the Calder. That number has gone. Mm-hmm. It's gone, long gone. But he's been great between the pipes. And anytime Aiden Hill gets the start, Nick, on a back-to-back, absolutely going to back the Golden Knights. And I think he's a good streaming option.
I took a sprinkle on Logan Thompson, I think two games into the season, where I'm like, I think this is open for the taking when it comes to the Calder. There's a lot of racetrack, but I just think it's tremendous, Pete, how the two coaches who have seemingly done the best so far are both have, you know, correlation to the Boston Bruins. That's Bruce Cassidy. That's Jim Montgomery. That would be amazing if they're both there at the end of the day.
Oh, no doubt. And if we're talking about Calder Trophy trends right now, Chris, maybe the biggest one other than Thompson is Shane Pinto with his crazy goal scoring streak. And with the Josh Norris injury, sounds like Norris maybe could miss the rest of the season, which would be a big blow to Ottawa, but thankfully they have the center depth, right? So do you think Shane Pinto has staying power? I know they brought in Derek Brassard. They brought him back. He's playing number two center right now. I don't think that's going to last. I think this is Pinto's job to gain and lock down and bring some really elite exposure, not only at even strength, but also on the power play.
Yeah, he's been a nice little player for them. I mean, the Sens have a lot of nice players, and it is a tough blow. Josh Norris was a guy that I thought could take another step this season, you know, unfortunately for him and the Senators, but you're right. They got some depth here. He's shooting 38%. I don't think he's going to be able to keep this up, but he's a nice little player. He's going to get more ice time, right? He started the season 12, 13 minutes here and there. Expect him to probably get some power play time. He had a game winning goal the other night as well. I think if you're in a deep league with faceoffs, he can add something there for you, you know, chip in with maybe 8 or 9 here and there, but I do believe that there's other players in the waiver wire. I know I'm looking right now on Yahoo. He's jumped up 20% in the last 24 hours or so. I totally understand the pickup in a deep format, but yeah, the Sens are playing really good hockey. Defensively, as another team that I don't know how I feel about them on the back end, but right now they're scoring goals and that top line is playing really, really good with Stützle and Drake Batherson's playing great and Brady Tkachuk as well.
I've really enjoyed the Alex DeBrincat shot prop lately, if you know what I'm saying. Might keep going back to that well, but it's so unfortunate on Josh Norris. He's coming off an unbelievable year, but it's that dreaded big injury following big fat contract. It just seems to happen way too frequently in pro sports. Maybe I'm on to something that's not actually a theme or a trend, but it's just so unfortunate. And I thought Shane Pinto could have been the perfect player to dangle in a Jacob Chychrun deal with Arizona. And that's not going to be the case, but certainly I think obviously there's a lot of value there. Speaking of value, Dominic Kubalik, is there staying power in what he's doing in that top line for Detroit right now means?
I actually think so. I don't feel like he's going to be a 40 goal scorer, but man, he opened up this season as a rookie. He scored 30 goals, 17 True. And 15 following that. So, I mean, he's shown to us that he can put the puck in the net. This is another guy that I know Chicago's rebuilding, but he's young and Kirby Dach is young. I just felt like they should have kept some of their pieces, but you know, with Jacob Brannanod on this team right now, there certainly is an opportunity for Kubalik because another guy, he opened up the season 11, 12 minutes and then bam, 19 minutes with the promotion. He's got points in 5 straight games, 4 multi-point games heading into tonight, goals in 3 or 4 of those 5 games as well. He likes to shoot the puck, 3, 4, 6, 2 shots in his last couple. You're going to give me a guy that is, I don't want to say he's a proven goal scorer. He's only been in the league for 3 years, but a guy that, as I mentioned, 30 goals as a rookie, he can clearly score. He's playing with Larkin. You know, power play time is going to be there for him. I think he's a great pickup. I streamed him last week for the Friday and Sunday starts. And because he hit the score sheet, I'm like, I'm just going to ride this thing out with the guy. So, I mean, he was great to me last week. Got left and right eligibility. Yeah, I'm going to continue to ride this out and see where it gets me. I think he's, from projecting for the season, I think you get to 25 goals and 50 points. I mean, it's not bad.
And Pete, you know how I feel about contract year players, Dylan Larkin. I mean, he's right there isn't he?
Yeah, and the cool thing about Larkin is that this is setting the table for the beast that the Red Wings are about to become. Mm-hmm. And if he's going to be like the centerpiece of that roster, they're going to have to pay him accordingly, especially if he has a point per game or better, which he's in line to do this year. So Lucas Raymond has been a little bit of a disappointment for Detroit, Chris, I know that like he's one guy that all fans are asking about. Should I drop this guy? I know he was, you know, in the Calder Trophy running for a while last season with a really explosive season playing with Larkin. He's played a little bit with Larkin. He's played a little bit with Kopp so far. But what's your level of patience with a player like that? There are guys struggling out there, of course, the big names like Roman Josi, Timo Meier, Mo Sider, Thatcher Demko, who we mentioned. But Raymond's a little bit lower on the pecking order in the grand scheme of things in the league. So maybe people would be more likely to drop him if you think it's worthwhile.
Yeah, I don't actually have any shares of Raymond. I like him. I don't think he's in a sophomore slump. It's still very, very early, right? He only has 14 shots, but you know, he's got nothing to show for it, 2 assists. I think he's fine. I don't know how much of an improvement he's going to have from last year's 23 and 57, like the 57 points. I think he can improve a little bit, even with this slow start. I think he could maybe get to 60. I have no issues actually moving on from him if you want to. You know, in a deeper league, I would hold on. I would try to acquire as a buy low candidate. But, you know, in your standard 10 or 12 team league, you could just stream that position. It's not like it costs you a whole lot on draft day. So if you dropped him, you can just stream for 4-game streams and back-to-backs for goalie starts. Just get the most out of your moves. But he will turn it around eventually. He is a good player. But I don't know. My expectations are not super high for him. I'm not as high on Detroit as everybody else seems to be. I liked the offseason. I think Moritz Seider is a much better buy-low candidate. Like if you're looking for a Red Wing to buy, that would be the guy I would look to acquire.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I think there's going to be some growing pains. And I think obviously we're seeing that early on, especially when your nucleus is like your marquee players at this point in time. I mean, there's going to be a bit of a struggle process, but a couple other questions via Instagram and tons this week. So thanks to everybody who put some in place here. Kuzmenko drop. And another one was our Terry Lehkonen. What would you do with those two files right now, Means?
Lehkonen, I would hold. He was all over the draft kit for me. I know we did a show together and I think we all liked him. We liked his landing spot. You know, last year with the Avs, he was great, especially inside the postseason. He was phenomenal. And he's still getting power play time. He's still, whether it's, you know, there's been some times where he's played with McKinnon and Rantanen, and there's been other times where he's on that second line. I would just hold, you know, Landeskog's going to be out for a long time. And there's going to be a spot for him all year, really, inside the top six. He's such a smart hockey player. He's not a terrific offensive player, but he's so smart on both ends. He plays in all situations that he's just going to continue to get ice time. And we got to like the Avs, even without, you know, Kadri and Landeskog on this team. It's still like a very potent offensive squad. So I would hang on to him. Kuzmenko, I could easily drop him. This is no problem. I know he picked up a lot of steam heading into drafts. I was shocked to see his ownership so high and other players that have been productive in the league just not even get drafted. So early season hype, I've seen some upside with him. Loves to shoot the puck. Definitely has some offensive flash to his game as well. If you want to be patient, holding a keeper in a dynasty league. But Lehkonen for me, I would hang on. Just be patient with him. He's not going to give you a whole lot, but he's another guy I think could get 20 and 50, you know, on that team.
Guys, kind of related to Arturi Lehkonen, sometimes on a separate line, sometimes together, but Valeri Nichushkin has been one of the early full-fledged breakout players of the season. He's ranked second in standard leagues right now, if you could believe it, behind Crazy. David Pastrnak, contract year Pasta.
Love that.
We mentioned earlier, has been fire, but so has Nichushkin. Big body, 6'4", 12 points in his first 7 games. I mean, what do you make of this guy? It's a player we've really come to embrace over the past 2 years. But that said, I would trade Val Nichushkin for Brad Marchand right now, straight up, and go to sleep well on the pillow with that one.
I really like Nichushkin. I think he's fantastic. I'd probably make that trade too, Pete. Yeah, you know, Kyle Connor's another buy-low candidate. It's only a matter of time before Kyle Connor and Timo Meier get going offensively. I feel a little bit better about Kyle Connor. Is that a move that you could make? Probably. You could probably get Kyle Connor for Nichushkin straight up, but I really like Nichushkin. I think he was underpaid when the contract, he broke out last season. It's always tough, right? When you have a player like this that was going so late in drafts anyways, he was undervalued in terms of ADP. He was an automatic click for me every time I saw him, you know, in the middle parts of my round and in my drafts. Last year, 52 points in 62 games, was amazing throughout the playoffs. He's not going to shoot 27% this season. If he does, he's scoring 50. But I think he can score 35. I don't know if he's scoring 50.
Easy there, fella.
I say he can score 35. I mean, he plays with a lot of confidence. He gets a lot of ice time. He's averaging career high 20.28, and he really does like to shoot the puck. We just mentioned the Avs, but yeah, we're looking at sell high candidates, Nick. I'd say he's the top of the list.
It really is incredible. And sorry to cut you off there. Like, it really is incredible that he had a season where he had 0 goals in 57 games. And here we are with Big Val, wins a Stanley Cup, new contract, ripping it up in the top six for the Colorado Avalanche. Got a big time question for you guys. And I'm sure you saw this. I put this out on Twitter the other day. Pete, we'll start with you. The following players who've yet to score a goal this season, who's the most surprising in your opinion? You got Cale Makar, Alexander Barkov, Victor Hedman, Roman Josi, Timo Meier. A lot of fan questions about him, what to do with him. Pete, we had that conversation a month and a half ago. I'll just say that. I'll put it straightforward for you. Evgeny Kuznetsov, Sam Reinhart, and Mo Sider. Who is your pick, Pete Jensen?
I mean, Barkov's pretty shocking, but I know they're still working out the lines there. I'm sure Florida will be just fine. That's more of a blip on the radar for a player of that ilk. But for Timo Meier to not have a goal at all, even on a bad Sharks team, when he's tied with Mika Zibanejad as of record time for the NHL lead in shots on goal, that seems a little crazy. I don't think that's going to continue for much longer. Again, you still look at Timo Meier and his floor is a top 100 overall player, even playing on a non-contending team. So buy low on Timo Meier. I don't think the Sharks are going to be this bad, and I don't think he's going to be held off the goal sheet for much longer. I still think bare minimum he's going to get you 25, 30 goals, and they're probably going to start flowing in pretty soon.
Yeah, and to your point, means it's not like he's not trying. 42 shots on goal in 9 games. So if you want to hit that shot prop, I would. I'm sure you have.
Yeah, 8 shots the other night. He was really pressing for a goal. He was shooting from everywhere the other night. I forget who they were playing. Oh, the Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Not only does he lead the league in shots with 42, he has 85 attempts. The next closest player to him, which leads the league, 85 attempts at all strengths.
It's crazy.
The next closest player in terms of shot attempts is a player that you mentioned as well, I think, on that list. Roman Josi has 70 shot attempts. So that's a 15 shot attempt gap, which is remarkable. So I know 2-time 30 goal scorer, 35 last year. I wasn't totally in on him. You're right, Pete. The Sharks team it's going to be a long season for them. You know, they're getting contributions from Erik Karlsson, which is great. You know, I don't want to say he's turned back the clock, but he's looked pretty good so far to start the season. He's at least producing. But Timo Meier, for somebody that shoots the puck that much, like, you can say Barkov all you want. Like, we all agree Barkov's a really good player, but he's a pass first guy. And there's some, you know, some new players that he's adjusting with and playing 5-on-5, and the power play is not going to be the same without, you know, Huberto there. But for a guy that shoots the puck that much, it's very shocking to see him not find the back of the net yet. It's only a matter of time.
So one bad team that I called them a bad team in the offseason, but they've actually looked pretty good statistically. The New Jersey Devils have won 4 out of the past 5. They lead the NHL. Chris, I know you're big on analytics and expected goals and things like that. Like, the Devils lead the NHL in shots on goal per game 4. They are averaging the fewest shots on goal per game allowed at only 21.4. That's a recipe for success. Are you seeing any ripple effect of those numbers on their fantasy appeal, either the goaltending with Blackwood or Vanacek or anywhere in between? I know some guys are off to a hot start for them, especially Jesper Bratt.
Yeah, Jesper Bratt's great. He's probably one of the most underrated players in the league, honestly. He's just a really good hockey player. I mentioned on the show last week that I thought Jack Hughes was a buy low candidate. I was shocked to see, you know, again, people play in shallow leagues. I'm not going to judge anyone. They play in 8 teams, 10 teams. I understand. But, you know, in Yahoo, he had a -3%. And so people are actually dropping Jack Hughes. They're first, second, or third in everything. Shot attempts, shots, scoring chances, high danger chances at 5-on-5 per 60. They've owned the puck. I will say that they haven't played a lot of great teams yet. They are beating up on some pretty average teams. I think the Capitals may have been the best team that they played, and Washington, you know, kind of handled them. But even in that game, New Jersey put a lot of pucks towards the goal. So yeah, there's a lot of, you know, appealing pieces like Bratt and Jack Hughes. Sharon Govich is a guy I'm kind of a sucker for him, but he moves up and down the lineup here and there. I know he scored a shorthanded goal the other night, but I think he's got some offensive upside. The only thing I don't believe in is the goaltending. But if Blackwood can kind of flirt with what he did a couple years ago before the injuries piled up with him. If he can just give like 80% of that Blackwood, then maybe this is a playoff team. But defensively, they're strong. And I think that's what starts to analytically. They don't have a lot of guys that jump off the page. Like Hamilton is great. They have a lot of like really solid defensemen in their own end. But Nick, it's the goaltending. Until they get a good goalie or one of these two shows me that they can be a starting goalie, then I'm not going to take this team too seriously, but they do drive offense.
We talk about it all the time with the Devils, right? Like all these guys that pop into the equation at different points. Like there's Mercer, Palat was out the other day, Sharon Govich, who you mentioned. One guy, Fabian Zetterlund, I know has been on my radar. We haven't really mentioned him on the show too much, but actually has been really productive at the NHL level past 2 years when he has gotten a crack at the lineup. So a plethora of young talent for Lindy Ruff to work with here. Zetterlund the other day was +1 and 7 shots on goal in only 13:41. So once again, throw him on your watch list. See if he cracks the top six. If he's in there, he might be worth a deep league stream in fantasy.
Let's hope he's not Fabian Brunstrom. Ha! Okay, this sets us perfectly. Who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week? It's time now for the delivery of the week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Pete, we will start with you.
I will go with Linus Ullmark, Boston Bruins. I really expected big things this season from Jeremy Swayman, but I know a lot of people during week one picked up Linus Ullmark. He's 5-0, and that's just for a Boston Bruins team that is not even close to fully healthy. So they're getting the band back together this year. I think it's a super high ceiling and another gear, a new gear that we've seen Linus Ullmark reach so far this season.
Means?
I'm going to go with Chandler Stephenson. You know, buried in on draft day, his ownership is only 50%. He's riding a 4-game point streak. He got 3 goals over that span. I like that the Golden Knights have put him on that top line with Stone and Eichel. It's a really strong 5-5 line and a power play line as well. He's shooting the puck. He can chip in with a couple of faceoffs here and there. So Chandler Stephenson's my guy.
We just talked about it, but I'm going to stay in New Jersey. Jesper Bratt, I think showing the last season was not an anomaly, at least early on. His last 3 games, 3 goals, 2 assists, 2 power play points, 1 game winning goal, 12 shots on goal, 7 game point streak to start the season, 4 multi-point efforts. Jesper Bratt, 26 tucks last year, 73 points. He's a stud. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip. Skip is the official food delivery app of the NHL. Pete Jensen.
And good stuff on Jesper Bratt for sure. He has 9 even strength points, leads the entire NHL through about 3 weeks of the season. So I love that call for sure. Patrick Laine came back from injury the other day, guys, but this Blue Jackets team, I just can't get on board with them, right? They get humiliated by the Coyotes after beating the Rangers at the Garden. Like, it's just kind of whacked out what's going on with them. That said, Laine is a lineup lock across all platforms and formats. And then also Kent Johnson, Chris, is coming on strong. I actually had a fan question. Kent Johnson or Brandon Hagel, who's playing on the Lightning top line, both guys have scored goals in 3 straight games.
Yeah, I think those are 2 good pickups, right? I mean, you talked about Lucas Raymond. I don't think either of those guys will have a better season than Lucas Raymond, but if you're, you know, why not? Like, what, Lucas Raymond's not going to be a big difference maker for you in fantasy if you want to move on from him and stream guys like these players that are moving up and down the lineup. Yeah, we hit the other day a Kent anytime goal.
Oh, boy.
I noticed he was on the first power play, but then when Laine came back, they bumped him off of it, but he's a nice little player. He's not getting a lot of ice time, but he's got goals in 3 straight, points in 4 straight. I think he's going to stick. I agree with you guys. The Blue Jackets are a fade. I can never figure him out. Yeah, you can't figure out. They have nice players. Like Boone Jenner is a great fantasy asset, especially if you're in a bangers leagues with hits and face-off wins. He's probably, honestly, this might blow your mind, but in that setting, he's probably a top 50, top 75 player because he will produce across the board with those categories. And then Zach Werenski's always hitting his shot prop at 2.5 and he plays a lot. But other than that, like, it's just a lot of holes on this team. Like, it's like basically a one line team.
Yeah. I hope Johnny Gaudreau's got ESPN Plus so he can watch the Calgary Flames on a daily basis, dominate the National Hockey League. Just, I think he's going to regret that decision. And that's pretty much all I have to say on Columbus. I'm fading them. I'm writing their obituary right now. It'll be on the podcast next week. Don't worry.
Good start for Johnny Hockey though. We'll say that. Good start for him.
So if we're looking at other hot players around the league that maybe you could sell high on or that have been worthwhile pickups, Gabriel Vilardi, who we mentioned on one of the previous shows, just keeps it rolling. He's up to the second line, first power play for the LA Kings with all the big dogs, Kopitar, Fiala, Kempe, and Drew Doughty. So, I mean, Nick, do you like this guy long term? I mean, it's a player we've been talking about for a while, but seems like he should be rostered in all fantasy leagues right now with his productivity so far.
I agree. Like, he was trending downwards for a couple games. I noticed in a couple of my leagues he was being dropped, and I picked him up in one and I felt good. I just see, you know, the confidence he's playing with. And most importantly, he seems to be playing more and more with some of the big boys in the Los Angeles Kings. And I think when you get exposure to the likes of Kopitar and maybe Fiala, I'm more enticed to give him a look. I know they've been ripped of their depth a bit on that third line, but certainly I would ride a hot wave like Vilardi. Is a sustainable means? Who knows? We'll find out in due time, but let's not forget the pedigree, former first rounder. And who knows, maybe he's this year's Troy Terry, right?
Yeah, that's a really good comparison, actually. I could see it. I could see him getting 30 goals. Really good player, right? To your point, and pedigree is there, likes to shoot the puck. He's got a heavy shot. They put him on that first power play unit. I don't think that this is sustainable. I've picked him up and streamed him in some spots as well, and I had to drop him in another one. It's like, it's tough to drop a guy who's got 5 goals, 9 points through 8 games. It's like, oh man, I'm going to drop this guy. But I don't fully believe that he can keep this pace up. But like you said, man, like 20 plus goals. And the Kings are doing some things with their lines. You know, Fiala hasn't really worked out for them. At moments, that top line has looked good with Kopitar and Fiala and Kempe. But to get Fiala going, maybe they put him on the second, maybe Vilardi jumps up on the top line at times as well. I think he's good enough.
So Chris, thanks so much for hopping on, man. Let everybody know what you're doing for FTN Network, but we really appreciate the time, man, as always.
Yeah, I love chopping up with you guys too, and Bobby as well. Look at this guy, he's a stud. We got to get him on the mic and get some hot takes from him.
No, we don't.
FTNbets.com, FTNfantasy.com, doing weekly fantasy hockey articles. You know, looking at 4-game streams back to back, players to hold, players to drop, buy low, sell high, all those things. You guys know, as you're covering hockey, things change. It's always, what have you done for me lately? So we got some buy low candidates over there as well. Mean Streets every single day at 12 Eastern. Dangle Bat Selly is twice a week as well on Tuesdays and Thursdays, powered by PointsBet, and myself and Eric Young just rolling through some shot props. It's been an interesting season in terms of props. Still trying to find a bit of find our footings a little bit. And this, you know, it's either 3.5 or juiced to 2.5. So we're getting a little bit of a feel going, but we're having some fun. And I always appreciate the invite, guys. Bye. Kyle Connor, that's one buy-low candidate.
Okay. Well, you are the shot prop king. I don't know if anyone's ever called you that, but we'll dub you the shot prop king. No, thanks so much, Chris.
Appreciate it, guys.
So another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice in the books, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. So Nick, have a great weekend, man. We'll be back at you next week.
Sounds good, buddy. Take care.